This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So, yes, it is Valentine's Day, and whether you'll be spending tonight on a romantic date or snuggled up with your Valentine...
Or maybe home alone drinking by yourself and cursing Hallmark holidays...
Anthony.
Sorry.
Well, couldn't resist. Well, whatever you'll be doing, it is hard to deny the power of love.
And some, and one person in particular, would say that love is all there is. In fact, all there is the name of his new book.
And that someone is David Isay, the founder of StoryCorps, the oral history project that has collected more than 40,000 interviews over the past 8 years from Americans all over this country, parts of which you've probably heard on NPR's Morning Edition.
In his new collection, David shares stories of love and marriage gathered from around the country. His new book, just in time for Valentine's Day, is called All There Is, Love Stories from StoryCorps. And Dave Isay joins us now from New York. Welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Hi, guys. Great to be back.
So, Dave, romantic love, of course, is the overarching theme of these stories. What other big themes run through this book, and how did the collection come to be?
Well, I think that when you were giving your introduction, you brought up a good point with the people who are in love and the people who are maybe sitting home and not out on a date tonight. I mean, when I read this book, this is less a book about love stories to me than it is about hope. Hmm. And over again in these stories, you hear people talking about thinking that love wasn't in the cards for them. And then at some point, it might be in their 40s and their 50s and their 60s, 70s, even 80s. It just sneaks up behind and taps them on the back. So
When they're not expecting it, even when they're maybe not even looking.
Especially when they're not expecting it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice.
So, you know, I think StoryCorps is this project where, as you said, 40,000 interviews. People come to these booths with a loved one. And because of the nature of this conversation, which many people think of as if I had 40 minutes left to live, what would I want to say to this person who means so much to me? It's the great themes of human existence that are talked about in the booth. So it's family and death and love, which is the greatest theme of all. This is about romantic love. And, you know, if in every one of the 40,000 interviews love's been talked about, romantic love has been talked about in many, many interviews. Mm.
Well, we've got some really nice clips to play and to talk about. The first one is a Massachusetts story. David Wilson, he was born in Boston. He was married with children before coming to terms with the fact that he was gay. And Dave, I say, what happens in this story before we play the clip?
Well, this is a story that's in the book and also aired on the radio. It does take place in Massachusetts. David Wilson had a partner who died. And David – and actually – he was living in a white neighborhood in a suburb of Boston, and he was pulling home. In the book, he talks about coming home from work one day and seeing his partner collapse as he was raking leaves and going over to care for him. And when the police came and the emergency services, they saw this, you know, African-American man over this white man who was keeled over dead, and they tried to arrest him. And when he got to the hospital, he wasn't able to be with his partner as his partner died. He thought that love might not be in the cards for him again, and then several years later, met another man at a session for grieving families, and he fell in love at this bereavement support group. And in this clip, I think we're going to hear he talks about when he and his partner got married. They ended up being lead plaintiffs in the lawsuit that legalized gay marriage in Massachusetts.
Great. Well, let's listen to that. This is David Wilson talking about how his involvement in that case that Dave Isay just mentioned was received by his father. Here we go.
All of a sudden, his only son is going to become this prominent, out, gay, black man. So I talked with Dad about some of the issues. A couple of hours later, Dad said, "You're doing the right thing." May 17th, 2004 was the first weddings. Dad said, "Well, you're going to City Hall and you're going to be part of all of this excitement. What about me?" I said, "Dad, I'm sending a limo to pick you up." My dad had never been in a limo. He got a new suit, came down, and limo took him down, and he was in the front row, and when we walked down the aisle, both his arms were in the air. He was 89 at that point. He could not have been more proud. It was a great day.
Boy, Meghna, you can really hear the emotion in that story.
I'm going to tell both of you that I'm going to try hard to make it through this segment without crying, because I was really, seriously, it was beautiful. And I think one of the things that David Wilson said in that story, which really You know, Dave Isay, tell me, it seems to ring so true, is that the other thing about love is that it has the power to surprise, no matter how old you are. I mean, here, Dave Wilson's 89-year-old father cheering his son on as he's one of the first same-sex couples to get married in Massachusetts. It's just an amazing story.
Absolutely. And that, you know, the in each one of these stories, so these are 40 of the most remarkable of the 40,000 stories we've recorded. And I should say that every StoryCorps interview we record, we look at as a sacred moment in people's lives. None is more valuable than any other. But some have this kind of universal quality that make it appropriate to share. And every one of these stories has an image. And in that story, there's the image of David Wilson's dad sitting in that front row. And I think you hear it in just a couple of seconds in the tape with his arms pumping in the air as he's watching his son walk down the aisle.
Yeah, you could really see that. Dave, the collection also includes some quirkier stories. Talk a little bit about the one about Honey and Elliot Reichen. Tell me about this couple.
It's Reichen. This would be, I guess, the one that this is the quirky story in the book, although they're lovely people. It's Honey, it's one of those StoryCorps stories that's like shooting fish in a barrel. You can't go wrong. Honey and Bunny, identical twins. Elliot and his brother Danny, identical twins. It's the 1940s. Both sets of twins are working in the Catskills. And one twin falls in love with another twin, and the other falls in love with the other, and they have a double wedding. And let's listen to Honey and Elliot talk about their now 60-plus-year relationship.
You and I were married the same day as Bunny and Danny were married. And it was two brides, two grooms, one set of parents for each. The gowns were identical gowns. The flowers were identical.
We both went on our honeymoon to Miami Beach by different trains.
Yeah, so people wouldn't.
Because we didn't want to be so obvious that people would be staring at us, you know.
Yeah, the twins that married the twins.
Is it gauche for me to ask if they had children and how similar the children look?
You know, that's a really good question. And I have to, you know, I've been on tour for the last 10 days, and I get to meet, this is probably the most fun part of my job, I get to meet a lot of people in the book. The Reichens, unfortunately, Honey broke her hip a week ago, so I didn't get to meet them. So I actually don't know the answer to that question. But at some point, I'll know, and I'll come back and I'll tell you.
David, I'm curious about the process of transcribing these interviews. What happens when you transcribe the oral histories into written histories? Have you found that it transforms the stories in any way?
Well, you know, radio, we do these stories on Morning Edition every week. And I do know that radio does not, you can't transcribe a radio piece and have that be a book.
Right.
So what we do is when the facilitators are in the booth for each of these interviews, they have a number of jobs. They think of themselves as kind of bearing witness to these interviews. One of the things they do, other than making people comfortable and keeping logs, is marking whether something might be appropriate for broadcast or a book. And those are two kind of separate issues. Some of these stories air on the radio and appear in the book. And for the ones that have aired on the radio, we do we pull maybe 1,000 transcripts of stories that in this book, in the case of this book, are about love. And we read them through putting the voices out of our head. And what we're doing is looking for the poetry in the language, the poetry on the printed page, and, you know, boiling it down into kind of the essence of these stories. And, you know, one of the great things about traveling around and meeting folks is seeing that these, these very boiled down stories really do capture the people whose stories are being celebrated in this book.
Well, many of these stories, of course, have happy endings. Some of them don't. Here's a clip from an interview with Beverly Eckert, whose husband, Sean, was on the 105th floor of one of the World Trade Center towers on September 11th. She was on the phone with Sean when the tower collapsed. Let's listen.
Then I heard a sharp crack, followed by the sound of an avalanche. It was the building beginning to collapse. I called his name into the phone over and over. Then I just sat there, pressing the phone to my heart. I think about that last half hour with Sean all the time. I remember how I didn't want that day to end. Terrible as it was, I didn't want to go to sleep, because as long as I was awake, it was still a day that I'd shared with Sean. You know, and he kissed me goodbye before leaving for work. I could still say that was just a little while ago. That was only this morning. I just think of myself as living life for both of us now. And I like to think that Sean would be proud of me.
Dave, I say, I remember when I first heard that story, Corv, with Beverly Eckert, it stopped me in my tracks all day long. And of course, the ending to Beverly's own story is what makes this a time capsule that we can't forget.
Yeah, Beverly recorded this tribute to her husband in 2006. And then a couple years later, Beverly herself was on Continental Flight 3407 that crashed near Buffalo. She was on her way to Buffalo to be with Sean's family and celebrate his birthday. So this recording became a memorial to Beverly as well.
Hmm. Dave, I say, finally, you've listened to more love stories probably than just about anyone doing this project. Here's just a little question. What makes love work? What makes it last?
Tiny question.
You know, I think it's all those things that you would imagine to be true. It's having open conversations. It's being honest with each other. And it's relationships where when people are a team, they become better than they would be as individual people. And we see over and over again these stories, life twists and turns in all these unpredictable, sometimes difficult, sometimes crazy ways. And in these great love stories, it's that bond of love. It's strong enough that it holds people together through all of that.
Well, that's Dave Isay. He's the founder of StoryCorps. His new book is called All There Is, Love Stories from StoryCorps. And Dave, thank you so much for joining us and for brightening this Valentine's Day. We appreciate it.
Take care.
You can hear StoryCorps every Friday on WBUR during Morning Edition. And for more information on All There Is, you can go to radioboston.org.
By the way, happy Valentine's Day to my family, who have definitely made me a better person. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.